And happy Easter. It is wonderful to be here together and to celebrate this glorious day. I'm Reverend Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity. And we are so glad that each and every one of you are here this morning. I hope that you will take a moment and find your Connect card in the bulletin. And if you will fill that out for us and share as much information as you would like, at least give us your name and email. That's very helpful to us. Even if you're here on a regular basis, it's a great way for us to connect with you. Later in the service, you can place that in the offering baskets as those go by, or you can hand it to one of the ushers on your way out as well this morning. I want to let you know that after the 9:40 service and after the 11 o'clock service, there's a family Easter celebration with an Easter egg hunt. And so I hope that if you're at this service and your kids or grandkids are going to Sunday school at the next service, that you will then be a part of one of those celebrations this morning. And now I want to invite you to stand up and join me for a moment in a responsive reading. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord has risen. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord has risen. Let me invite you to turn to one of your neighbors near you and please introduce yourself and say Happy Easter.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our festival worship this morning with our opening hymn.
Thank you. us pray. God of life, your risen Son has gathered us this morning to celebrate with joy and thanksgiving that death is dead, love has won, and the brilliant light of resurrection hope has come. Pour out your Spirit, opening our hearts and our minds to receive the blessing of your grace, so that we may more fully love you, more fully love each other, and more fully love our neighbors. Amen. And I invite you to hear this reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And now let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Each Sunday at Trinity, we participate in what we call a mission box offering, giving over and above our tithes and offerings that is used to support our ministry partners here in Gainesville, around our country, and around the world. This morning's mission box will support the continuation of our partnership with Zoe, and we have a short video to tell you more about it.
Did you know that you can help more? By doing less? By skipping out on a few snacks, you can provide a child living in poverty a way to boil water and stay healthy. Or by passing on a single round of golf, you can help an orphan establish a source of income for years to come. The truth is that a couple of dollars may not make a big difference in our lives, but they can make a world of difference in the lives of children in need. Every day, Zoe does just that for vulnerable children struggling in poverty. Zoe helps children grow food, start businesses, and attend school so that in 3 short years, they are completely self-reliant. Zoe invites you to do less today to help children more. Purchase gifts that help to honor your friends and loved ones. See how far even a small gift can go. With $10, a pair of rabbits will quickly become more rabbits, generating income for an orphan in the Zoe program. $10 can also get a group of more than 60 children enough maize seed to start their own farm. $25 buys a pair of chickens that can start a flock, with each hen laying nearly 200 eggs per year. The list goes on. And with Zoe, each of these gifts is used to help children help themselves. We can all help so much more just by doing a little less. For more information on Zoe and gifts that help, visit us online at zoehelps.org.
Sponsoring a community is a 3-year commitment, and on the screen there you see the community that is our actual community that we are sponsoring, and that costs us $8,000 a year. So that's the goal for this morning's Mission Box offering, which we know is possible because last year's Easter Mission Box offering far exceeded that amount. Last year we sponsored this community of children in Rwanda, who thanks to your generosity and partnership now have a future filled with possibilities and hope. So we invite you to please give generously at any of the 5 mission boxes. Those are the wooden boxes that you will see as you exit this morning. And we thank you so very much. We turn now from the sharing of our resources to benefit others to the sharing of our prayers to benefit others. We've all come here this morning from different spaces and places with prayers of thanksgiving for all that God is doing in our lives and prayers of concern for those areas of need. We will begin with a moment of silence to allow you to share with God in the quiet of your heart the joys and concerns you have today. So let us unite our hearts and go to God in prayer. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise you this Easter morning. For empty tombs, thank you. For disciples running with good news, thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth. And so, into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring those who are struggling with illness, those in despair from grief, and those struggling with the breakdown of relationships. May the risen Christ shine upon them. Into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring those places in our world where war, violence, poverty, and need are the experiences of everyday life. May the risen Christ shine upon them. And into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring ourselves, our private struggles, the yearnings of our hearts, our hidden dreams, our unfulfilled potential. May the risen Christ shine upon us. Heavenly Father, we offer these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is risen from the dead and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have the privilege now to offer ourselves and our gifts to God for the sake of the mission of the church to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So as we prepare to worship God with offerings, let us pray. Gracious God, as we give back to you from what you first gave to us, let us give not out of obligation, but from the heart. Let our gifts be seeds for the work of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Seeds that will sprout an abundance of justice and hope for all that is necessary for life, for our brothers and sisters here at Trinity in Gainesville and around the world. Therefore, we pray your blessing upon our tithes and offerings, upon us and those whose lives will benefit from these gifts. In faith and hope, we pray.
So perhaps a few moments ago when you heard the reading from the Gospel of Mark, you thought to yourself, that doesn't sound like the Easter story. The women coming to the tomb, and the last thing we hear from Mark is them leaving in terror and amazement and saying nothing to anyone. Now, Matthew, Luke, and John all give us a fuller picture of what happens after that day that the stone is rolled away from the tomb, but Mark leaves us hanging. Mark leaves it to us to fill out more of the story. So in our other passage of Scripture for today, we hear from the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Corinthians, and he speaks to them about the core of the Christian message. So Paul is writing approximately 20 or 25 years after the event that we come today to celebrate, and he saves this part of his letter for the very end of the letter to the Corinthians. So I invite you to follow along now as I read for us these first few verses from the 15th chapter. Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You are being saved through it if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believed it for nothing. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose on the third day in line with the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, as if I were born at the wrong time. I am the least important of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I harassed God's church. I am what I am by God's grace. And God's grace has not been for nothing. In fact, I have worked harder than all the others. That is, it wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. So then, whether you heard the message from me or them, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. In the spring of last year, on the day of May 21st, a sellout crowd gathered for the final performance of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. For 146 years, this circus had amazed those spectators. For 146 years, marquee signs called out to the crowds to come, because now appearing was the greatest show on earth. Perhaps some of you, as Catherine and I did earlier this year, went to see the movie after it was released late last year entitled The Greatest Showman, a movie that loosely tells the story of P.T. Barnum, the founder of what came to be known as Ringling Brothers. It was Barnum and then Barnum and Bailey and then Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. Now, Barnum was known during his time, long before he ever sent the circus on its traveling journeys, to be a man who perpetrated a number of magnificent hoaxes of all kinds and made great profit from them. But his legacy certainly also includes launching a tradition that thrilled kids and their families for generations. They would come, and under the big tent, they would see amazing feats things that seemed impossible. And probably when they went back and tried to tell others about it, it was hard to believe it unless you saw it. You had to see it to believe it. In one of the lines from the title track from the movie, The Greatest Showman, there's a line that says, "Impossible comes true. It's taking over you. This is the greatest show." Well, today is Easter Sunday. And today, as we do every year, we come to remember the story of the most impossible of all things coming true. Jesus, who 1 week before rode in on a donkey to town to the sounds of hosannas. Jesus, who gathered with his disciples in an upper room, knowing what was to come and wanting to leave them with a way to remember him, celebrating the Passover and giving them new words of life and remembrance. Jesus, who was taken from the garden after he had prayed, taken and captured like a criminal. Jesus, who was carried before Pilate and mocked. Jesus, who was taken out into the courtyard and stripped and beaten and bruised. Jesus, who was taken to a hilltop and put on a cross and crucified. Jesus, whose body was taken and carefully and lovingly put in the grave as a final resting place. This Jesus, we remember on this day, was no longer on this morning in that tomb where the stone had been securely placed to make sure that robbers could not get in. This Jesus has been raised, is the message that the church has recalled over and over again for nearly 2,000 years now. If event promoters had been around back then, you can bet that they would have been trying to get in on the action. Ladies and gentlemen, now appearing in the upper room, now appearing on the road to Emmaus, now appearing at Tiberias Beach, Jesus, who was dead, he is alive. Some would have said, you had to see it to believe it. Remember Thomas? Thomas, the disciple who wasn't there when Jesus first came back to see and greet the disciples in the upper room. And so when the other disciples tried to tell him about it, he said, no, not unless I can see it. Not unless I can touch him and feel him and know that it's for real. But what about the rest of us? What about those of us who live so much later? How are we to be sure of such things? Well, today's scripture is actually the oldest account in the Bible of the resurrection. You see, Paul writing to the Corinthians predates any of the Gospels where we read the stories of Jesus' resurrection by some 20 or 30 years. Paul, in his writing, wanted to make sure that the Corinthians heard the crux of the matter. And so he begins, "I passed on to you as most important what I had received, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he has been raised." You know, it really is just perfect that this year Easter falls on April Fool's Day. Because Easter, the Easter story that we celebrate is either true or it is the most magnificent hoax of all time. And Easter Sunday offers us no middle ground on who Jesus is. We are either all in or we are all out. John Updike makes this clear to us in his poem, The Seven Stanzas at Easter. Listen to the first few stanzas of that work. Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules reknit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. It was not as the flowers, each soft spring recurrent. It was not as his spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was as his flesh, ours. The same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valved heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping, transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door of resurrection. Updike reminds us that every analogy, every illustration, every image that we might try to use will fall short of capturing the weighty and full impact of today and of the news of resurrection. And then, having recited the core of the message, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus has been raised, Paul then turns to the evidence. And the evidence is to be found in the appearances. First, Paul reminds his listeners that Jesus appeared to Peter, Cephas, and then to the 12. Which is interesting that he mentions 12, because didn't Judas leave after the table? And then the 500 brothers and sisters. And then did you notice who Paul mentions next? He speaks of his own encounter, which is magnificent except for the fact that he wasn't there with the others. So he says, as he continues in this passage from this morning, he appeared to me as if I were born at the wrong time. And what we know from Paul's story and from Peter's and from the stories of the other apostles and from the stories of those who have guided the church from the beginning is that it is not just the appearance itself that provides the evidence, but it is the change that happens as a result of the encounter. One theologian says that in that encounter with Jesus, one receives a new center of existence, a new power for living, a new perspective from which to view all things. Paul's inclusion of himself as one who was born at the wrong time, presumably, to have experienced a resurrection appearance, by including himself in the list, Paul makes room for us to include ourselves and our stories. As Tom Oden puts it, resurrection is a currently experienced interpersonal encounter. Jesus keeps showing up. And Jesus shows no partialities. People of all types keep having encounters with the risen Lord. Another line from that title track from The Greatest Showman seems to fit here. Come one, come all. You hear the call to anyone who is searching, longing to break free. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He is here in plain view. We can see him in the community gathered to remember. We can see him at the table. We encounter him in the bread and in the cup. We meet him when we fall on our knees and offer prayer to him. We can see him as we go out and we face the world, and we find him in the faces of those he calls us to love and to serve. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is indeed now appearing. Don't miss it. God wants everyone to be in on the party. And that is no April Fool's. We pray with you. Oh God, how amazing indeed that you have chosen to redeem us through resurrection. And so we pray this morning that as you have raised Jesus, that we would have our own encounters and be raised to new life as well, so that we might faithfully live and tell our own stories of the good news. Amen.
We come to this table to celebrate and remember God's great love for us. It is right and good always and everywhere to celebrate the living God now appearing in Jesus Christ. Time and again, God draws us here to inspire us, to feed us, to save us. Even when our love fails, God's love remains, steadfast and true. God created the world and called it good. And God created us to proclaim that goodness to all. And so, we raise our voices, saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Join me in saying that. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the fullness of time, God appeared in human form in Jesus Christ to walk in the way of life that we might follow, revealing God's love, radiating God's life. Jesus taught those who listened to him and healed those who believed in him. Jesus received all who sought him and preached forgiveness and peace. It was at this table that he issued the invitation for us to come together, to share together, to remember together, and to go and then share that with others, that Jesus is now appearing, and it is as the renewed and redeemed people of God that we remember God's love for us. We remember remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks to God, and then he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, after giving thanks, he said, "This is my love poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table and we celebrate and we remember and we raise our voices to proclaim the eternal truth that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Say that with me. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let's pray together. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, your people, O God, and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make us those who love others and share your word. Make us healers and bestowers of your grace. And make us one body in Jesus Christ. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence that we are children of God and we celebrate the resurrection, let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come and receive the elements. Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place where all are welcome. It is a place where we can even experience the appearance of Christ in our lives. So we invite you to come. To come and to share in this meal, offering your life to God and receiving God's presence in it. You'll come forward to the station in front of your section. You'll come out by the left side of your row and return by the other side. You can come forward just a row at a time, beginning at the front. When you come forward, you'll receive by intention, which means you'll cup your hands to receive a piece of bread. Take that bread and dip it into the cup. Then you're also welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer before you return to your seats. There's gluten-free available, and so just ask one of the servers and we would be happy to serve you. Please come. Everything's ready. Thank you. Let me invite you to pray with me. Holy God, we give you thanks for this meal, for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. We pray now that it would strengthen us to go out into the world and share with all that Jesus has appeared, can appear, and is now appearing in each of our lives and in our world. We give you thanks through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we begin our closing hymn, I would like to invite any of you who would like to join the choir for singing the Hallelujah Chorus to come up as we sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. There will be greeters for you on either side. We have extra music, and they will let you know which section to go to. The sopranos and tenors are on this side, altos and basses over here. Come on up. You know you want to. You were in choir in high school. You've always wanted to sing the Hallelujah Chorus. Come on up and sing with us. Now let's stand and join together and sing our closing hymn.
Christ has died, Christ was buried, Christ has been raised. Go in the strength of the risen Christ to live by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within you, that all might come to know that God is.